Welcome back. We have, for the most part, finished chapter 5. We looked at the new song last week, and a song was often used in Scripture as a celebration after a great victory was won. We looked at Moses' song after they crossed over the Red Sea and the Lord defeated the enemy. We looked at Deborah's song. After Deborah and Barak defeated in the book of Judges, after they defeated the chariots, and the chariots got the thunderstorm came, if you remember, and it sunk the chariots, and then they defeated the enemy. A song is a song of victory after a great battle. And we have in heaven, in Revelation chapter 5, you have a song, and a song of victory after a battle has been won. And what kind of battle was fought, and what kind of battle is being celebrated? We looked at that. What kind of battle did Jesus fight for us? All right. Yeah, the battle over sin and the victory over sin. He defeated sin for us, and so we have a new song that's being sung. And remember, the song, if you read it, the song speaks of Jesus being worthy to open the seals, for you were slain. So it speaks of why they're singing. Jesus is worthy because he was slain and he ransomed a people for God. And not only just the Jewish people, this is the new covenant. This is an opening up of God's salvation being applied to everybody, or all peoples, if you will. Not just one people group, but all peoples. So that's the major theme of chapter 5, is there's a new song that's being sung. The Lamb is victorious. We serve Jesus who has won, and we as Christians hopefully are celebrating that victory because Jesus reigns. Now we transition then. We had an introduction, chapter 1, chapter 2, and 3, mainly the letters to the churches. And the message that to stay strong, to endure hardship, persecution is coming. Then we had chapter 4 and 5, which is the throne room scene, the scene of heaven. And now we're going to get into the seals, or the judgment of God beginning to be poured out. Now, many people see this as a yet-to-come future coming. I think we've looked at it a whole lot to see that nearly all of the evidence is pointing contrary, that this is something that already has happened. And so with that context, I'm going to share about this judgment being poured out, not on some future generation to come, but that's being poured out upon God's people in judgment, and namely his people Israel, who have abandoned him and rejected his son, sent him to the cross, crucified him. And now the victorious Lamb, Jesus, is being praised in heaven, and the judgment is coming back upon them. Just as it had happened other times in the Old Testament, this is another time in which judgment is coming upon the people of Israel. You had the great captivity. You had the series of judges. Lots of times Israel came under God's judgment for being disobedient and abandoning him, and this is just another one of those. And so we'll begin chapter 6 with that in mind. And I wanted to point out to you, there are so many good things to study about this. One thing as we begin, can anybody just from memory, I'll give you a little test here, from memory, there are things that begin to happen, and they are signs of the judgment that the Lord is pouring out. Does anybody remember any of those? There are sevens. They're in groups of seven. Anybody remember any of those symbols that are used to specify God's judgment?
The darkening of the clouds and the cosmic stars and the
earthquakes. Yep. Yep. The decreation, if you will.
Isn't it one of them? The moon turns blood red?
Yeah, the moon turning blood red. That's straight out of that same section. Yep. What else? What are some of the other judgments that we see?
Wars, international strife.
war, internal strife, famine. All right, there they are. They're all up there. Yeah. The interesting thing that I hadn't looked at before and I found in my studies this time was that, and I'm showing the chart on the board, what you can see is this guy named R.H. Charles. He pulled together the Olivet Discourse, which is Jesus on the Mount of Olives. Remember when he's saying, a lot of people quote this, it's in Mark 13, Matthew 24, Luke 21. When Jesus himself speaks of all of these things about to come, this judgment, and he says, be ready, these judgments are coming, all these sorts of things. Well, what he did was he looked at all of those and he compared it to Revelation chapter 6 and the seals, the opening of the seven seals, and said, you know, these are very similar to what Jesus said in the Gospels, in the Synoptics. And so this chart, I will email it to you so you'll have it. But just briefly, you can look and say, look, in Revelation 6, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, there's wars. There is internal strife. There is famine.
International?
Do what? International strife. Well, international, yes, and I'm thinking about it. There's internal as well. We're going to see how that plays out with this. You'll see. Yeah, international, but it's internal too. Persecutions, decreation, that's what you're talking about with the moon turning to blood and the stars falling, those sorts of things. Those are all ways of symbolizing certain things. And so anyway, if you want to look back, you can see how closely those things are tied together. John is very obviously playing off of what Jesus is saying. These are the ways that the Lord is going to bring judgment. And when you go back through and you look at how Jesus described it, you'd be hard-pressed to say that those things are not happening very soon. Even how the way Jesus says it, when he says things like, before this generation, these things are going to pass. When he talks about people on their rooftops, when he talks about just the cultural things that are going to be happening, you can look and say this has to be something near. And that falls in line with everything we've already read about the nearness of Revelation and the soonness of all of the stuff about to take place. So giving you that for reference and just to bring that. And here's what one of the commentators I read said. This is very perceptive of Charles and of the many commentators who have followed his lead. What is astonishing is that they should fail to see St. John's purpose in presenting the same material as the synoptic writers, to prophesy the events leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem. While all readily admit that this little apocalypse is a prophecy against Israel, few seem to make the obvious connection. The big apocalypse is a prophecy against Israel as well. And what he's speaking to there is that many of people, like we say, take the judgments that are coming in Revelation and put them way in the future rather than right there with where they should be. The four horsemen, we begin. The chapter 6 is going to begin with the four horsemen, and I'd like to give you a little background. How many of you have heard of the four horsemen before? All right. From where? What do you know about it?
It's the four horsemen were in the Left Behind series.
Oh, were they? Yeah. I hadn't seen any of those.
Yeah.
They're right here.
Yeah.
In the book there.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Four
they
horsemen.
In the world, and they released their. Terror.
Yep, there is truth to that. We're going to read about them. They are big in this chapter. Anybody else? Four horsemen?
Doesn't each one represent something? Like one is death, one is...
Yeah.
I can't remember all four.
Yeah. Yep, we'll look at their colors and what they represent. Good. You said they're releasing terror. So. What? Didn't Notre Dame football have some kind of four horsemen? Well, yeah, not a lot of sports fans in here, but...
Yeah, it was one of the headless...
headless horsemen.
I thought of Scooby-Doo and the headless horsemen.
Scooby-Doo and the headless horsemen.
I thought of the Wizard of Oz and
Horseshoe's
color.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking Lord of the Rings. So
okay, yes, that was my thought, Stacey. Now...
Yes.
Now, if you've seen the Lord of the Rings, and that's what I thought of too, Stacey... is they have a scene in which these this guy on a horse, and I don't remember vividly. You might remember, can explain it better than I can, but there was a at least some people on horses coming around, and they were judges. People were deathly afraid of these horses, right? These horsemen. They were bringing judgment, and you'd have to stay away from them because they'd take your life. Can you add anything to that?
It's called the Black Riders.
Black Riders. And the idea there that Tolkien got was from this passage of horsemen bringing judgment. And they're what we're going to read, and we'll read in Zechariah and we'll read in Revelation, these horsemen, and I've seen even art drawn of the horses and the different color. Have you seen it? Some pretty fearful images of these horsemen. You say, well, what's so scary about a guy on a horse? Horsemen were known as warriors back then. And if you had a horse, you were a much better fighter than if you were running around on the ground, because it made a big difference. So horsemen were seen as warriors. And when a king would go off to battle or the armies would go out, you would see these guys on big horses, and they would strike fear into people, and they were very intimidating because you're above your enemy who's on the ground. You are able to go down, swing downward, which is a lot easier than swinging upward. So you have a huge advantage being on a horse. Now the image that's going to be proclaimed here this morning that we'll look at is, it's not of a guy walking around on a horse, but this is something more. And as you read, watch, this is not just somebody walking around on a horse like a normal soldier, but this is something even more. So let's look. What we'll find out is Zechariah chapter 1 opens with an allusion to horsemen. It's going to give us some context. As we try to study Revelation, I've told you over and over, I'll remind you again, we can't study it without understanding the Old Testament, or we'll miss the meaning and make up meanings that aren't true. And we're trying to understand what this beautiful book is teaching us. So we go back to Zechariah. You'll notice we'll go back to Zechariah, Ezekiel, Daniel, a lot of the prophetic books, a whole lot, because that's where John is drawing his material. So let's read from Zechariah 1. We'll go 8 through to 12. Zechariah 1:8. I saw in the night, and behold, a man riding on a what?
Red horse.
On a what?
Red horse.
A red horse. And he was standing among the myrtle trees in the glen, and behind him were red, Saul, that's how we say that here, Saul, and white horses. So here are the horses.
What color is that?
What color is Saul?
Yeah.
Is it red?
Sorrel?
Yeah. Red? All right, red. No black horse, though. Notice. Then I said, what are these, my lord? The angel who talked with me said to me, I will show you what they are. So this is Zechariah having a vision and dialoguing with an angel, and there are a bunch of horses. Dark riders there. The angel said to me, I will show you what they are. Verse 10. So the man who was standing among the myrtle trees answered, these are they whom the Lord has sent to what?
Patrol
the earth. So here is your, go back to the Lord of the Rings, and you can see that this is where Tolkien got his idea of the horsemen patrolling around. This is a biblical idea, and this is, there we go. Allison's got it. Saul is a reddish brown.
Chestnut.
There you go. Color. Chestnut. Close to chestnut. All right. There you go. It's a reddish brown horse. Y'all learned something. Now you know. Bayou Saul means reddish chestnut bayou.
Buddy. I've been in that thing many times. There ain't no red.
Abby wants to go in too. She wants to get in that bayou. The horsemen here are patrolling the earth. Now, this is interesting. The question ought to be what? Why? What patrolling, why? Why do people patrol? Why would a horse be patrolling something? A horseman.
To keep law and order.
All right. But it's at night, though.
It's at night. Yeah, absolutely, at night.
Luminous.
They're at night and they're patrolling. When you think of somebody patrolling something, you obviously think, Rick, of law and order. Think of somebody that's going around making sure things are the way they are. And if somebody's causing trouble, what do they do?
Put them in their place.
Yeah, well, put them in their
place.
Patrol.
Patrolling.
You know, you might think there's a curfew.
Yeah.
Looking for people that break a curfew.
All right. So they're looking for lawbreakers is what people who patrol do. All right?
Nothing good happens at night, right?
No.
Nothing good happens at night. And they answered the angel of the Lord who was standing among the myrtle trees and said, we have patrolled the earth, and behold, the earth remains at rest. So they're doing their job. Then the angel of the Lord said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you have no mercy on Jerusalem? So the angel is asking the Lord and saying, how long will you what?
Have no mercy.
Have what?
No mercy.
So if the Lord is having no mercy on Jerusalem, what do you think is going on?
Judgment.
Yeah, judgment. If he were having mercy, then it wouldn't be judgment. But he's having no mercy. And these horsemen are involved. They're patrolling around, doing their job. He's saying, we've got it under control. So what do you think that the horsemen are involved in?
Judgment.
In the judgment of Jerusalem here, specifically, for Zechariah. Now, this is a prophecy against Jerusalem. Oftentimes they are. And this is one again. So the horsemen are bringing, are the Lord's patrolmen, I'll use it that way, bringing judgment upon Israel.
So the 70 years that it refers to, when is that 70 years?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah.
Good question. So do y'all recognize 70 years?
Yeah, it sounds like 70 A.D.
This is something different, I think.
Is that Babylon exile?
Yeah, the exile of Babylon. Remember, was 70 years. Jeremiah prophesied that they would be taken out of their land for 70 years and then they would go back. So this is, again, Old Testament. You need to know this. It's important. Israel was, Babylon came in and destroyed the temple of Israel. And then for 70 years, they brought them out to the land of Babylon. This is where Daniel prophesied. This is where Jeremiah prophesied about. This is what Isaiah prophesied about, a judgment being brought against them. And then Israel, because they had abandoned the Lord, were brought out of their land into a foreign land called Babylon and were there 70 years. So this judgment of 70 years is clearly the four horsemen being portrayed as the ones who were patrolling and bringing out judgment upon Israel during this 70-year period. Now, not ironic is that AD 70 comes 70 years. I don't think it's ironic. But what we see here specifically is when you think of four horsemen, now this is a Bible truth that hopefully you'll remember a long time. The horsemen, the four horsemen, the patrolling ones are those who bring judgment. Miss Shirley sending me an armadillo.
You an armadillo.
Thank you, Miss Shirley. I'll take, y'all accept it.
If someone rides on that towards me, I might.
Well, that's not a four horseman. That's an armadillo.
That's the Saul horseman.
That's the Saul.
Wow.
There we go. Thank you, Shirley Moon.
She probably meant to like send to Belinda or
yeah,
someone.
Yeah, she's going to be so embarrassed when I tell her that. It's going to be great. No, oh no, we're going to have fun with this one. Guess what you did? All right, so remember this, and you can remember the armadillo, but the four horsemen are those who bring about the Lord's judgment, and specifically that's the image that Zechariah created, the Lord through Zechariah, and John picked it up and ran with it. All right? John picked it up and ran with it. Let's keep reading. The horsemen are the Lord's agents of judgment. Now, we see the horsemen again in Zechariah. We're going to see the horsemen again. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 1. Again, I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, four chariots came out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of bronze. The first chariot had red horses. The second chariot had Saul. No. Black horses. The third for the third white horses. And the fourth chariot, dappled horses.
Somebody look up dappled.
What is dappled? Carson wants to know.
Spotted
horses. Now, when we get to Revelation, you're going to see it's not exactly the same colors, but we'll talk about that. All of them strong. So these are strong horses that are bringing out God's judgment. Then I answered and said to the angel who was walking with me, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel answered and said to me, "These are going out to the four winds of heaven after presenting themselves before the Lord of all the earth. The chariots with the black horse goes towards the north. The white one goes after them. The dappled one goes towards the south. When the strong horses came out, they were impatient to go and patrol the earth." And he said, "Go, patrol the earth." So they patrolled the earth. Then he cried to me, "Behold, those who go toward the north country have set my spirit at rest in the north country." So now he set it at rest. And what do you think that means? After patrolling something, you set it at rest.
You bring in peace.
You've brought your judgment. You have defeated the enemy.
Yeah.
You've conquered, if you will. We've brought it to rest. There's no war anymore because we've destroyed it. And these are God's judges, or the spirit, if you will, the spirit of God's judgment. Now, that would be a good poster for our wall, Ralph. The four horsemen. Revelation chapter 6.
Don't forget the armadillo.
Not the armadillo. We need that on our wall.
Like, print out a picture of an HP sprocket or something.
Then he said to me, "Behold, those who go to the north have set my spirit at rest in the north." All right. Do you understand the idea then of the spirit of God's judgment going out personified? It's not really person, but symbolized in these warriors going out and defeating and subduing, if you will, a people. That's the idea of the horsemen. With that in mind, let's look in Revelation chapter 6 and see what's going on. "Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals." What are the seals on?
The scroll,
this Biblion that we see. And I heard one of the four creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, "Come." I can't really speak thunderously, but he said like thunder, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And that is Stephanus' crown, which will be somewhat significant. I'll tell you why. Was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. So, conquering and to conquer. What do we think that could mean? Keep in mind our Old Testament guide when we're talking about horsemen and what they were doing and what they did. What do you think a horse going out conquering and to conquer would mean?
Conquering means you're going out there in the process of it. So you're putting the judgment out there.
Yeah.
Once it's finished, now you can have victory and conquering.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Do y'all get the concept of what happened when the horsemen went out in Zechariah? What did they do? They brought the land to rest. They defeated. And this is the same idea that John is giving us, I think. They went out conquering and to conquer completely and finally and bring God's judgment. Now remember, what we're talking about is the new covenant being instituted here. And so a conquering and to conquer is to bring a finality to something, to finalize the judgment. And what we're looking at here is the end of an old covenant era in which that temple was used. And now we're bringing into the new temple of Jesus being recognized. So this would make a whole lot of sense that the old way is going to be judged. And like we alluded to earlier, the AD 70 idea of the temple being destroyed and the old covenant being finally and ultimately ended. So people couldn't do that anymore and they'd have to look to Jesus. So it really fits into the context of what we're looking at here, right?
Whenever you say, what is it again that they're conquering?
Bringing judgment. So if you think back to the Zechariah, at least the way I see it is this. The horsemen went out in Zechariah's day, and they were reporting back to the Lord that I've brought rest to it, or I've finished my work. There's no more battle. I've finished it. The Spirit of God's judgment coming out. Here we have the horses coming out here and being a completely and full end to the opposition.
Would the opposition be Israel and
yes,
that nation?
That's what I see it as. Because, remember, the opposition was the one opposed to Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus is the victorious lamb, and he's using these horsemen as part of his vehicles of judgment to bring an end to those and to bring judgment against those who were battling, if you will, battling him and trying to use the temple and the old covenant, the old system, rather than receive the Son of God.
Which makes sense because all through Acts, the Christians were being persecuted by the Jews.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. So you had the Jews that were under the covenant.
Yep.
Okay, so you have the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. So when they conquer and the Jews are being conquered, that puts everybody on an even keel now, right?
And that's, yes, and it goes to why now he's from every tribe and tongue and nation, okay, and why that emphasis is given to us that it's not just for one. It's not that Jews can't be Christians today. I'm not saying that.
Right.
I am saying that as a whole, the nation rejected the Messiah and are now being judged for doing that, just like they were several other times in the Old Testament. This is just the final one.
Okay.
The ultimate one of their final judgment and a transition to a new covenant, if that makes sense. That makes sense?
Makes sense.
Okay. Now, I will give you some food for thought. The rider on the white horse has been identified by many as a specific being. Any ideas who this? And I'm not going to tell you but does anybody have any ideas of who the rider, who people say that the rider on the white horse might be here? Let's read it again. I heard one of the four living creatures say, "Come," and I looked, and behold, a white horse, a rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him. Now, this is a Stephanus crown. It's like the, you've probably seen it. It's like made out of plant, and they would put it on, a lot of times kings would put it on warriors' heads when they would win. They used it in the Olympics in the days of old to put it on the winners' heads. It's a sign of victory, and a crown, not a diadem, but a Stephanus was put on his head, and he came out conquering and to conquer. So who do you think that people historically have identified this white horse with?
Christ.
Rider.
Or the Antichrist.
I think it's Christ in the army.
All right.
Or the Antichrist.
Yeah, Jason's right. Christ. You're both right. He's been identified as Jesus. It's been identified as the Antichrist.
Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger. On a white horse. But both. I can give you the reasons why they would have identified them for either. I'll give you my opinion too. The reasons that it's identified as Jesus is because later in the book of Revelation, I don't know exactly what chapter, 19. But Jesus comes out on a white horse. What is it?
19.
He comes out on a white horse. He's got this King of Kings, Lord of Lords on his thigh, and he's got the sword, and he's victorious. So some people say that could be him. The opponents of that would say, well, why is the angel bossing Jesus around and saying, hey, Jesus, come here? And I think that's a pretty good argument against that being Jesus. The other good argument against that being Jesus is that there are four of them, and they seem to be a group coming together. So it doesn't seem like that this would be a Christ figure as one of four horsemen on different horses. So I don't believe. Do what?
Isn't Jesus the one opening the seals?
He is. So that's another good argument against it.
And then he would
jump on the horse.
Yeah.
So I don't believe it's Jesus, personally. Now, others have said it's Antichrist. And Antichrist, because he's going out enforcing judgment, and that's what the Antichrist would do. I think the dispensational group would affirm this. I don't think that that's right either, because there's no reason to think that. I think you just read it as it is. It's one of the spirits of judgment. One of four spirits of judgment going out. I wrote a note up here. The attempt to identify each separate figure with one specific, like, historical figure. Some have said it's Vespasian, who is one of the Roman generals in that day. If you try to identify every horseman with every particular thing, you can run into problems. I think we just need to read it as one of the four horsemen, one of the agents of God's judgment that's going out. And we're going to see how this plays out actually in history, because what we do see is that as these horsemen come out, if you go through and you read some of Josephus's Jewish wars and some of the history and the way that the AD 70 event happened, you'll see that a lot of these things that these horsemen are bringing happen in the order that you see coming out. And we see these things of judgment and famine and all of these things happening the way that, they're said to happen here. So regardless, the white rider comes with a bow. And what is a bow?
Bow
and arrow bow. And it's meant to be an agent of war. Remember when Jesus came, he came with a sword. And his rider had a bow, and his crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. So the idea here is killing lots of people and bringing judgment. And this is what's oftentimes seen as the Jewish wars beginning about AD 67, 68, the beginning of the destruction of the temple. And historically, a lot of people will link this to the beginning of the wars that led up to the sieging of Jerusalem, because that wasn't the only event. There were also attacks. The Romans were attacking the Jews all over. And this would fall in line with what we've seen of the warnings saying, hey, Jewish people in other cities that we read, Thyatira and all these other places that we read about already, is the wars are coming. You're going to be persecuted. Get ready. Christians that are there, get ready. It's coming. And this is the beginning. Then maybe this white horse is the beginning and that culmination leading up to AD 70. So this would fit right nicely in there. So what does the white horseman represent? Well, he represents military conquest.
Stop and think what the Jews went through in the 40s.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot.
The persecution.
They're no strangers to it. But this is, and who is, remember, who's in charge of this judgment coming out? Who's the leader of these four horsemen?
The Lamb.
God is. Jesus. He's the one opening all this. So we just have to remember that sometimes judgment is good and is necessary, and it's hard for us to think through that sometimes, and it should be hard for us to think through, but sometimes judgment, discipline, those things are necessary. And we will stop here today. You've got an introduction of the four horsemen. You've got the first horse, which signifies what?
Military
conquest, the best way to put it. Here he comes. He's coming to conquer, and he conquers. And this is historical and what happens. So our application here at the end of this lesson is sometimes discipline and sometimes judgment is necessary. And so I want to encourage each of you to think through. Sometimes when you go through a struggle or the Lord allows difficulty in your life, it's not our place to go back and always blame God and say, why God? How can you do this to me? But say, Lord, what can I learn from this? Or is there anything that I can learn from this discipline that you brought about me? Or can I learn from judgment that you've brought upon people in the Bible? Or that I've seen with my own eyes, judgment sometimes that's brought. It's necessary sometimes, and the Lord uses different ways to do it. Let's just embrace that God knows what he's doing and that we can trust him in what he is doing.
Real quick.
Yes.
Okay. We studied that in previous chapters. We know that Christ is the only one worthy to open the seals of the scrolls. So Jesus, I'm interpreting it as Jesus does not know what's in the scrolls until he opens them. So the scrolls come from God himself, right? to be open at the time?
Why do you say that Jesus doesn't know? I'm curious. He doesn't know what's in the scroll.
Because at the time, he's the only one. They're still sealed. And he's the only one
worthy to open them.
Open.
The only thing I know that Jesus didn't know was the time, while he was on earth, was the time he was coming back.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know, Rick, if he...
You're right.
I don't know that there's an evidence to say that he doesn't know what's in them.
Okay.
Or to say that he does, that it's just silent on that. So I don't know that I would say that either way.
I quote that verse all the time when people say, when I see somebody's going to come on such and such,
Yeah, Jesus
said nobody. He didn't even know.
He didn't know when he was on earth. I think he knows now, but when he was on earth,
he
certainly.
Who wrote the scroll?
Who what?
Who
wrote the scroll?
Yes.
No thing, see.
Yeah, I think he knows.
It in the beginning.
I think he knows. All right.